Happy Friday! We hope your coffee is strong this morning, and we welcome you to the weekly financial news podcast with CrossShield Financial. We hope you're ready to start your powerful financial journey. Don't worry, though, it will be fun. Today, we have some amazing people joining us. We have two brilliant financial coaches. First up, we've got Rudy Upshaw and Zoodles.
And Zoodle! Woo!
We also have Nick Boatwater here with us. And and of course the lovely Stephanie Volkmer, our operations manager here at CrossShield, and myself, Sky Scott, the brand manager at CrossShield Financial.
Welcome everybody. Oh my goodness. It's been a week and it's only Wednesday, so that's always fun. You guys will be hearing this on Friday, but for us, we're filming a little bit early because of the holidays. So
yeah.
It's always fun. Woo-hoo-hoo. Fireworks, always fun. All right, so we want to go ahead and jump right in because we have a couple thoughts on this first article. And so we would love to get everybody's opinion on this. But the first article is NEETS and the new unemployables and why some young adults aren't working. And the NEETS is not actually spelled like you would think. It's actually NEETS. So, Nick, you had some pretty strong opinions on this piece. I'd love to hear your opinions on this.
Put me in the crosshairs immediately. I love it.
Hey, we try.
Thank
we
you
try.
For having me on today. I appreciate this. NEETS. Let me get this straight. So, NEETS is not in employment, education, or training. So when I hear this, I see this, I think about this. I'm like, okay, so you're living in your mom's basement or dad's basement, whichever it may be, and zero ambition, zero goals, and you're just cool with floating on and being a burden on society. I won't go any deeper than that because this is like the morning. I'm trying to be fun and exciting. I love this quote from it. It's not everyone who wants a job has one, and not everyone even wants a job at all. And I was like, I can't fathom an existence where I don't have a job. And then we kind of were discussing a little bit further, as far as dating this person, whether it be, a guy or a girl, I think that, again, that's a massive red flag. And, Absolutely. There was a time in my life where I collected red flags as a hobby. And, now I'm like, trying not to be one myself, there was a time on paper I looked terrible. Like, I looked terrible, but I'm a good guy. And, I guess that's gone through for, now I'm happily married for 10 years. The mentality of this, I don't understand it. I'm lost for words, honestly.
Rudy, do you have your thoughts?
I just want to go deeper into the whole.
You can absolutely go deeper, Nick. This is really what this is for, is just to kind of get our opinions and kind of lay out exactly what we're thinking about this and why this is a trend. So,
according
to the research.
Yeah, this is a family friendly show, but Zoodle did have an acronym, and I. I'm not going to ask Zoodle what it means, but Zoodle, what was your acronym?
What? Oh. WTF!
sorry. No, just kidding. Good Lord. I mean, so NEET stands for Not in Employment, Education, or Training. NEETS. Yeah. And we've got to have an acronym for everything, personal want, desire, and position, I guess. I don't know. But I look at this. It talks about the younger generation. It talks about the young adults. This article also references teenagers, and it even makes a notation that says, while the teen employment rate is the highest it's been in over a decade, early 20-somethings are struggling to find jobs. Mm-hmm. It's the 20 to 24-year-olds that saw a massive drop-off in the labor force participation during the pandemic. Yep. If you look for a reason or a cause or a whatever to say, hey, there's a reason that I'm not working. There's a reason I'm not making income. There's a reason I'm not moving forward in my goals. You're going to find it. I mean, you can look everywhere and you can create a name for it. So I'm like with Nick. It's like, I mean, where are these people's parents? I mean, I hate to be a little bit direct about it, but you know, we are talking early 20s. So what things did they not gather from mom and dad or from other relatives? And listen, I don't know about everyone that's watching this podcast or our team, but if I want to eat, if I want to live in a house, if I want to have a vehicle to drive and not be, you know, driving a bike or walking, I got to work for it, right? I mean, no one's coming to save Rudy. No one's coming to save Cross Shield. No one's coming to save, you know, the government's not going to be here with a handout, right? Everything has a cost to it. So I don't know. The whole article just is like
first words ever spoken.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're trying to, exactly. Anyway. And these folks that are choosing maybe to not work, guess what? There is going to be a consequence for that.
Absolutely.
You're not going to get closer to your goals. You're going, Nick, as you said, it's going to be a red flag. If I'm in this neat category, I'm a, you know, shining red siren, red flag to
shiny
every potential. Shiny. And I asked guy earlier, I asked the ladies of this group earlier. I said, so if you're attractive and handsome and all that, does that really help? And I think the consensus was, nope,
absolutely not.
Help at all.
In fact, all that does is just make it sadder because it's like you have the potential, but you're just wasting it. And I actually wonder if some of this attitude comes from the fact of for COVID, a lot of people got $600 for unemployment for being, you know, not necessary. And so then they're like, oh, I don't actually have to work. I mean, I would have loved to have that much money every week from during COVID. I would have loved that, but I was working 72 hours or more at a full-time job because I was in the medical supply system. And it's, you know, but I wonder if that maybe kind of came to it. And also maybe TikTok, with the rise of so many TikTokers and YouTubers really getting a lot of money from their, you know, dancing and stuff like that. I wonder if they're just looking for an easy way to get money rather than just an actual 9-to-5. So Sky, what are your thoughts on that?
It kind of bums me out. I was reading this and, you know, the unemployment rate overall is below or at 4%.
Yeah.
But for the ages 16 to 24, it's at 9% as of May. That's a huge jump. And I think it just bums me out because I know I started working when I was 15. I was a nanny at 15. Yeah. And my summers, I made bank.
Yeah.
And then my my 12th grade year in high school, I was working in a donut shop Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sundays, you know, and starting at 6 a.m., got off and then went to school. And then I was working at a skating rink in the afternoon and evenings.
I totally picture you at a work.
I know. I was going to say skating rink.
That's the most fun host ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was super fun. I loved it. I was there for a couple of years. It was really fun. So, you know, like, I just know that I don't know what that disconnect is. I think a part of it is probably people just got comfortable being at home during COVID. And then a part of me is like, well, maybe, you know, what their parents are going to be Gen Xers. Maybe some millennials too. And I'm like, maybe they just see their parents so tired and grinding too, that they're like, that's miserable. And I just want to live life, you know, and kind of that mentality of like, they just have burnout surrounding them. So that's a little bit of another perspective. That's the zillennial in me, right? Because I'm like, I kind of get it. Like, I get it, right? It's hard. It's exhausting. Everyone's exhausted. But like Rudy said, if you don't work, you don't eat. You're not going to be able to get a car. You're not going to be able to drive. You know,
And the only other alternative for that is to go in debt to get those things, and then you're going to be in even more trouble because you have no income to pay that off. So
indentured servitude. I think that to a certain point, I feel like sometimes that's what society is gearing everyone towards. Is they're making worker bees and drones. They don't want millionaires. You know, the Rockefellers were famous for this back in the day, you know, just telling the education system, this is what we want, factory workers. I don't want people being billionaires and millionaires like me where they're free and they can do what they want. You know, as soon as you get into debt, that's, I mean, in a sense, it's that I use a term all the time, but you know, I was in the Middle East and I saw it everywhere. And this is exactly what was kind of happening. A little bit different, obviously, but you know, the whole essence was the same way. You know, they were just working these jobs and it was to pay off, you know, what they owe someone else. I like what you said, Sky, about the perspective they see their parents working so hard and they're like, God, those people are miserable. My cousin, she graduated UW a couple of years ago, and she always said, like, I don't want a soulless job. I don't want to sit in a cubicle and work my butt off, because all the men in my family are engineers. And so all of them have, and they were like old school engineers, like slide rulers and, you know, calculators on their desks and a little pocket protector and everything like that. And she just saw how hard they worked, and they were always gone, and just how miserable they were. And and now it's like, nowadays, like, you have those options, like you said, Stephanie, like, there's these things about, you know, there's other things, like, I never thought in a million years I go from being a SEER specialist to now being a financial coach on a podcast, you know, at home. I think just people, instead of not doing anything and sitting in their home basement, being a neat, you know, find something that you have passion, find something that
absolutely
you love. You know, that's why I love, you know, when I started working here and Rudy had the dream, goals and dreams session is our very first session before we even get into the financial coaching aspect. And, you know, Rudy said something to me and I just kind of triggered it. It's like, you're so consumed by this, you know, this debt, or you're so consumed by this, you know, monotonous way of life that you don't, it stops people from actually thinking and dreaming about their stuff. And I think these people, when I read this article, man, they don't, they need a goals and dreams session.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to really think about what.
It reminds me of that 100 something year old lady that we talked about.
Oh yeah.
Weeks ago. And how, you know, she retired, but she still wanted to be like working.
Yeah.
And that's, I think the key is for you neets, find what you love, find your passion. Sometimes it starts different, right? But you have to be on that path to get there. And it, you might go 50 different avenues before you figure that out too.
And don't be afraid to get something to tide you over in the in-between time, because I mean, honestly, like, okay, yeah, so you don't like your job. That's fine. Work at a job that you don't like, but get enough money and get enough determination to do what you want to do. Like, don't just sit back and go, oh, I can't get into my preferred profession. Okay. But you know what? The Hobby Lobby down the street is hiring. So why don't you work there?
Hobby Lobby pays well.
They really do. Well. They really do. If I weren't.
Costco's benefit package is phenomenal. Man.
Yeah.
And honestly, if I. Yeah. It's just like so many people want something to fall into their laps. And I mean, I think that's also part of, if they have Gen X or older millennial parents, we were raised with the participation trophies. We were raised with the, you can be whatever you want to be. And now a lot of us are growing up and going, we couldn't be what we wanted to be because, you know,
being neat.
It requires a lot of work.
Neat. That sounds
neat.
So Stephanie, you kind of jumped on something. Nick, you did too. And Sky as well. What do you tell people, let's say of this age group that you run into, what do you tell them when they say, you know, I can't really find a job. I really am not interested in getting a job. Or it's like, I just don't really have any hope. I don't have any hope of really seeing, because I've seen my parents maybe work hard. Mm-hmm. And listen, it's one thing to see someone work hard. It's a whole different thing to understand why they're doing it, right? And I'll tell you that the vast majority of people don't just work because they, quote, love working. Right.
Yeah.
We should love our work. If we don't love our work, we need to have a shift and a different viewpoint, maybe even some coaching to help us identify what is it that we really love doing. But what do you tell people when they have that approach, have that attitude, or maybe that mentality of, you know, I can't find anything. I can't do anything. What do you say to those folks? Right. Because it is a poverty mindset to some degree, but it's also this mentality of, little man can't get ahead, right? Mm-hmm. And we are bombarded in our culture in the last several years about, you know, don't work hard. It's okay. We'll take care of you kind of thing. But what do you say to someone that you like or that you care about, a friend that just is in this place of a needs?
Like, I have a few different things that I would say to them. But I know that one of the things I would say is that is a victim mentality.
Yep.
And it's
yes,
nailed it.
Very much. Yeah. You're just accepting defeat. You're like, okay, yeah. Well, I don't see how to get out. So I'm just going to sit here. Well, that's going to just, you're just going to stay there. Like,
yeah, just, absolutely.
You know, a given. The other thing I would say, my dad said this to me, Bruce. I'm like, hello, Bruce, if you're listening.
He probably is.
Yeah, he said this to me when I was very young, and it stuck with me, and he said it to me so often. He was like, whether you are scrubbing the floors or you're the CEO of a company, he's like, do your best and find fulfillment in it. And it sounds so simple.
I think your dad might be related to my dad because that is very similar to what he's always told us.
I was always told, grow your boomer.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like, when I was young, I was like, oh, but like, I always did that. And I would just make whatever I was doing fun.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't take it that seriously. But at the same time, I did, you know, because I was like, I'm going to give it my all. But like, at the end of the day, whatever I'm doing, it's not permanent. If I don't like it, I can change it. That's another thing he always told me. He's like, you can always change what you're doing.
Exactly.
He made me unafraid to make decisions, you know, like growing up.
Well, and that's also a part. It might also be fear. Like, they might try to be like, oh, I want to go for this, but they are not getting the top dollar or the top billing, or they want to get, you know, the biggest job position. If you're just coming out of school, you don't have enough experience to be a CEO. I mean, like, you really don't. And also, there's no shame in, because I personally have always wanted to be a writer, always wanted to publish a book. And one thing that I learned over the past couple of years as I'm plotting this book and I'm writing it out is you have to have a day job that takes away from your monotony of life so that you can have your creativity be free. And so if you have something where you're like, I'm going to paint, or I'm, you know, selling something on Etsy, have something that literally allows you to focus all your business side on that thing and then have your creativity roam free. Because if not, what's going to happen is you're going to try to meld the two. And if you're doing that at your job and you're doing it at 9 to 5, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to work.
You say that's like a work to live?
Yeah.
Live to work mentality.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, just to add, and we'll wrap that conversation up because I know we've spent a lot of time on it, but we do have a lot of clients that come in to CrossShield, right?
Yeah.
For coaching, business coaching, and even our executive leadership. And they are in that place where they've hit that ceiling. They don't think they can get beyond where they are today. And we spend a lot of time, Nick mentioned it, the first things that we have is our goals and dreams session where we really dig deeper into what is it that you truly want?
Yeah.
Not just financially, but for your life, for your family, for your spouse, for your career. And we give clients the freedom to explore that because many times that's been turned off or turned way down. And so we want people to, because really at the end of the day, everything that we do in life, whether it's financial, whether it's personal, it's goal oriented, right? And so we help people really relight that fire about what it is that they truly want to do. So if you're in a place where in that, you know, neat mentality where like, I can't find a job, I don't know what to do, I'm just going to kind of sit here, reach out to us. Let us have that conversation with you to help spark that fire that God put in your heart and put on your mind to accomplish and do. So
It's
in you.
I have like one,
it's
more there.
1000%.
Go ahead, Vic. Yeah.
Yes. So just 100%, Rudy, I think that's definitely an option for them. And I welcome people like that. I want to help. That's one of the reasons why I'm here at CrossShield, is so I can help those people. When I'm always in a funk and I think of people like their mentality of, you know, being a neat, I always go back to what motivates me. And if you ever know that Teddy Roosevelt's a man in the arena, you know, if you just read, like I have it on my wall and I constantly look at that, and it's basically saying that, you know, don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Look at yourself, find out what you want to do, and then go after it. And you're going to fail. But, you know, the success is standing on top of a pile of failures. You know, and any professional, I think Michael Jordan said that. Probably. I know he said it once. I don't know who originally had it, but like the man in the arena, it's like the blood, the sweat, the tears, the victor. All that stuff comes from the guy who does the hard work, or the woman, that the person that does the hard work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't worry about the naysayers. There's going to be a ton of negativity. There's going to be a ton of people who are stuck in their dead end jobs, who hate their life, that see you branch out and go do, you know, be that man in the arena. And they're always going to be hating on you. Those are the people that you just push aside in your life. And every time I get kind of downtrodden, or I think like, man, I'm just working away at this and nothing's happening, I just look at the man in the arena and I read it and I just really think about the mindset of it. And again, it comes back to what you what you wrote about Rudy just being a powerful person, and you know, like Sky being that victor mentality and not the victim.
Absolutely, it's so true. Yeah, no, that was perfect, because the truth is, whenever you're failing, when you're like, and you're trying, that means you're failing forward. You're moving.
Absolutely.
So you never lose. You always win, or you learn
from, from failure. You learn from success, not so much. So.
Yeah, I hate the word failure. I'm going to switch up the conversation a little
bit. Let's go for it.
Dive into this next article, how thousands of Americans got caught in fintech's false promise and lost access to bank accounts. It's so cringe. I do not like this article. It talks about how
it's
there's
so scary.
A bank. It's super terrifying to me like, for multiple reasons, but there is a bankruptcy deal going on. I'm guessing is what's going on. Yeah, that's what it looks like. And so, you know, this girl's talking about how her entire life savings, $7,006, is locked up in a complicated dispute. And this was, what was it? Yada was the bank?
Yes.
Yeah. I've never heard of that, but I did read at the, like, near the bottom, the most popular finance apps in the country, including Blocks, Cash App, PayPal, and Chime, they partner with banks instead of owning them, which I think this Yada is a similar situation.
I think so, yes.
Yes, and they account for 60% of all new fintech account openings. Yeah. Stephanie, what are your thoughts when reading this?
Well, my first and foremost thought is I know that a lot of people think, oh, this is going to be easy because it's not tied to a bank. But my own personal opinion, never put savings in something that is not tied to an actual bank, that is not certified by the CFTC or what those initials are.
FDIC?
Yeah. FDIC. Yes, yeah. That one. And my coffee is very weak this morning, guys. I'm very sorry.
We're all waiting
on coffee right now.
But, you know, it's if you don't have something that is protected by the FDIC, then you are at risk for this. And just reading that, though, my heart sunk, because I can't imagine just saving all of that money, all that time, being like, I'm making a good dent in my income. I'm making sure that I have money for emergencies, for, I think hers was for her wedding that she was trying to save for. And like, now it's locked up. She can't even touch it. And my heart just sunk, because I was like, oh my goodness, that is such a thing that could happen to so many people, and obviously does. And I personally, I would never put something in there that doesn't have backing from the FDIC, because that just, to me, I'm like, if it's not backed by that, that means if something happens, I can't get my money back. But Rudy, I saw your, I think you and Zoodle were kind of talking about that too. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Same.
Yeah, you know, there's so many new fintech options out there, and they're coming out in apps, and there's nothing wrong with any of that happening, right? We want our clients to be knowledgeable about what's coming out, all the tools, all the resources, and we've even seen in the high yield savings account space a whole lot of new entries into that particular area, and we clients, hey, do some research. We even do a lot of research on our own, looking at those options with all the resources that we have. But man, be really cautious. I mean, this person in the article, I mean, she said that her entire life savings, $7,006 is what she had. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, that's a lot of money, but that's if that's all of her entire life savings, granted it's a small amount, I mean, that's devastating, right? So, you know, I wouldn't say all your money has to go into a quote traditional bank, but do the research on what's out there. Don't just take, you know, what you're seeing mm-hmm. on Reddit or what you're seeing on Facebook or Instagram. Hey, yeah. go do this and try this, because usually there's a motive behind it. Mm-hmm. And if you're not really sure about the resources or the financial tools you're using, get with an experienced financial coach, like one of our team members yeah. at CrossShield. Mm-hmm. Connect with us. Let's dig into that a little bit more before you put that hard-earned dollar into something yes. that yeah. is not, doesn't have the right amount of protections mm-hmm. if there's an issue. So FDIC is Financial Depository Insurance Corporation. It's actually an entity, and there's a rigorous process that all institutions, if they're banks, go through. And many of the institutions that aren't banks, that don't have the FDIC, don't meet the standards to ensure that those depositors' funds mm-hmm. are protected. And there are certain dollar limitations for an individual person. It's $250,000. For a couple, it's $500,000. But ask the questions before you launch into an app. We have a lot of clients that do use some apps and some tools. And before they really get into them, they will come to us and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking about. What are your thoughts? Here's the reason.
Yeah.
We can give them some guidance and direction because we've had the experience to know what's out there. We test things out quite a bit. So, mm-hmm. yeah, super mm-hmm. devastating for her. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, that's painful.
It's interesting that they mentioned Chime in this article mm-hmm. as well. There's several others that are out there. And I've seen some kind of hybrid type of accounts, like even through some of the delivery services that we have. There's some depository apps, and you're going to see more and more of these things coming out in all these avenues that people have accessibility to. Mm-hmm. We just want to be cautious and just wise about all the things that we're using financially. But if you don't know, connect with a financial coach and let us help you with that.
Absolutely.
Nick, this, what are your thoughts? You're like, I got you.
I'm trying to listen to Rudy because every time he speaks, just wisdom flows from him.
I know.
And I get to the point, I'm like, oh, I got something to say. This reminds me of the big GameStop episode of, I think, 2021 it was.
Yeah.
And so when a bunch of people got together, in a nutshell, basically a bunch of people got together, decided to manipulate the price of GameStop, and it went skyrocketing, and then people were selling off. And then apps like, I know Cash App was doing it, and what's the other one? There's another one in there.
Venmo.
Venmo.
Cash App and not Bitcoin, Robinhood. They were together, and people were, and so they were making tons of money trying to sell. Robinhood freezed all of that trading, freezed it all. So there were people who weren't involved in that, trying to get out of it and get their money back, and they froze everything. So no money was coming in and out. And at that point, after that happened, I wasn't part of the GameStop. I didn't have a GameStop. But as soon as that happened, I was like, absolutely in no way, shape, or form are people like these going to have control of my money. You know, playing with my money is like playing with my emotions. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And just the fact that I couldn't have access to my money if something went crazy in the market and I needed that money, like this poor woman whose life savings is stuck in this, like that's not a position I want to put myself in at all.
Yeah.
So I pulled everything out of Robinhood. I thought it was a great app, you know, for mm-hmm. what it did. And when this happened, I was like, sorry, man, you're not going to convince me. I'm not going to go through that again. I'm not going to be susceptible to that at all. So that's when like what Rudy said, when I look at this and kind of what you said to Stephanie, is I'm going to put it in a bank where I can go physically there, at least shake somebody and say, give me my money back. You know,
So Nick, you're saying there is no quick way to build wealth, right? It's okay to test a few things out a little bit, but you can't build wealth quickly. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying there's no dead sure, reliable, consistent way to do it. It's the non-sexy things that build wealth. And
slow and steady.
GameStop thing is like, cool, I can buy 10 Lambos now. But yeah, as far as generational wealth, I would say that it probably can be done. It's been done, but not the normal thing, and not something I would it's not worth the price you pay if you lost everything. But anyway, that's my little point. Got me off track, Rudy. I was like on his own, and then I was like, what?
So going along with that, we're going to switch gears just a little bit. We found one other article. It honestly makes me not very happy at all. And this is Greece becomes first EU country to introduce a 6-day working week. 6 days. And it even says in the article, this change is going to be at first off, they're saying that it's worker friendly and deeply growth oriented, which no, we're just no. But this comes, it started on July 1st and it bucks the global trend of companies exploring whether to embrace a shorter working week. I personally do not see this being a very good move for Greece. They're already one of the EU countries that actually does a longer work week already compared to, say, France, compared to a lot of British companies, a lot of Spanish countries. They have a longer work day already. And so this is basically meaning that the traditional 40-hour work week will be extended up to 48 hours per week for some businesses. And I read that and I was like, ooh, no, that's no, absolutely not. Like, let's go 4 days, but not 6 days. That's not fun. So Rudy, I think you and Zoodle had some thoughts on that. At least Zoodle looks like he has some thoughts. So
yeah, we did converse preparing for this podcast a little bit earlier on this. So I've got mixed feelings about it. I definitely appreciate, Stephanie, your viewpoint that you bring to the table. I don't really know the why behind this article. I think there's a bigger why behind it. We actually had not too long ago a client that we worked with actually out of Greece, and he was a dentist. Client in Greece, and we worked with him on his dental practice and on some personal things for he and his fiance there in Greece. Unfortunately, we did not get the opportunity to go and have coffee in person in Greece, but we would have really loved to enjoy that. Zoodle would have really gotten a kick out of that.
For sure.
But there were a couple of things about it just from my limited knowledge of working with him, and that is that the Greek economy has been impacted quite a bit. It's been a little bit of an isolated area in the EU, and so the way I read this I guess a little bit more was that kind of the standard maybe work week from a daily viewpoint, you know, with the hours of the day, was to really create some additional economic drive and input for the country of Greece. So that's kind of how I read a lot of it. Now, as I was thinking through it from a coaching perspective and all the clients that we work with across the United States and across the country, or across the world, I'm sorry, is that, you know, we are really migrating, and I would say we've pretty heavily migrated away from the traditional 9-to-5 Monday mm-hmm. through Friday work environment. Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, many of us who are coaching and work with clients, you know, yes, we do Monday through Friday, 9-to-5, but we also do, you know, after 5. We also do mm-hmm. Saturday hours and Sunday hours because we want to be able to serve our clients where they need to be served and the times they need to be served. So I also kind of think the idea of maybe us kind of sticking to this mentality of, okay, I have to have 2 full dedicated days off a week is changing quite a bit, right? So many of our companies, in fact, us here at Crossia, we have a very flexible work schedule based on just the work that needs to be done and how we take care of our clients. We can kind of work whenever we want to work. You know, we can work at 2 a.m. in the morning if we want to, or whenever.
Yes,
and so, you know, I think
was on at 2 a.m.
Yeah. So I think the whole, you know, the idea of having to have 2 dedicated days off back to back is definitely changed for sure. Oh, hey, good morning.
Aww.
Awesome, Nick.
I got photobombed.
No worries. That's really cool. He looks like a mini you. Anyway, so I think the whole idea is different maybe than what it has been in the past. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting, as an older dude, I'm probably the oldest guy in the room right now. I'm getting more comfortable with being flexible. There was a point in the past where I was like, I really don't want to do anything, you know, outside of my 5 days a week, but you know, being a small business owner, you work when you have to work, period.
Exactly.
Kind of my thoughts.
You might be the oldest guy here, Rudy, but you have salon quality hair every time I see you. So that's hard to achieve.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Something that popped in my head.
So, well, Nick, where are your thoughts on the Greasy moving to the 6-day work week?
I see, again, Rudy, like what Rudy said, I'm trying to go through and see the whys behind it. I think like how the economy was hit so hard during COVID and even before, like it went into a hard recession and it was trying to be bought out by massive banks to, you know, to pretty much cover their entire national debt. So it's been shaky for a long time, even before COVID. Again, trying to stimulate business, and the work extension week was geared towards and private businesses that work around the clock, you know, that provide services around the clock, and just having another 2 hours per shift a day, and you know, or an extra 8-hour shift throughout the week. Yeah, for someone who wants a job and wants money, I mean, I like Skye was saying, like when she was younger, she was working multiple jobs at the same time.
Oh yeah,
I did the same thing. So I think from that same point of view, it's great. If you're forced to do it, I can see where you're like where you are coming
100%.
From. Yeah, if you're forced to do it, and you put yourself in a position where, like that's not a thing that you want to do. Then
exactly.
I mean, I always joke in the military, I could never quit my job if I didn't like the management, right? But this, if you don't like your job, then quit and go find another one. Or like I was saying, explore things that you have passion with, and then, you know, the gifts that God given you. And if you can monetize those gifts, then you never feel like you're working.
For sure.
I would say it's hard to, I would caution getting into the victim mentality in this one and, you know, kind of see it for, what benefits it can bring. Again, if you're forced to it, that's one thing. And if you're choosing to do it, like young person trying to work, trying to stimulate the economy, you know, I think it could be a good thing. But yeah, the 6-day work week, if I was like being in the military 21 years, this doesn't mean anything to me. Reading this article, I'm like, I have no sympathy for anyone who complains about this. Because I've worked 18 hours straight for years at a time.
Yeah, another perspective, kind of perspective with my client that was in Greece, they had I think it was daily, they had like this block of time, like in the middle of the day, where everything would kind of shut down. It kind of like maybe we've heard of maybe in the Central American countries where they have kind of this siesta during the day. They had, I think they had something kind of similar. So I don't know how that plays into it. But again, Nick, along with your lines, it's like, well, okay, if it's forced upon us, that's definitely not something we want to participate in. But if it opens up more opportunities to be able to serve people better, to bring more economy in, more money into the area, the community, I mean, I don't really see any huge issue with it from that perspective. And anytime an article like this pops up, we always kind of go to our local community, right? Our local country, how could this possibly come in? The one thing that I just want to add as well is we in the United States of America, we're celebrating our Independence Day tomorrow. And, you know, we are a country that celebrates capitalism. We celebrate, you know, people being able to make money, to serve others powerfully. And so, you know, that whole concept of being able to do more with what we have to serve people better is great. We do want to make sure we have our boundaries right in a good place, individually, community-wise, all those things. But when someone brings an article like this in and talks about things that are going on in the country, you know, that should be, from my perspective, from our company's perspective, a cool, Nick, like you said, what can we do in this initiative, this thought, to be able to serve people even more powerfully through it, right? Look for that non-victim mentality approach of things. So.
I did a little digging. I want to add this real quick because I know
we're gonna wrap
up soon. I'm like, I did some digging. And this, I love journalism. This title is a little deceiving. because if you go and hit that hyperlink on the, it's designed to support employees not being sufficiently compensated for overtime work and to help crack down on the problems of undeclared labor. So the businesses were already having scheduling issues that are open 24 hours, keeping like employees because they weren't paying overtime. They weren't regulated to pay overtime.
Oh, see, that would bug me.
This is actually really nice because then that article that I clicked on, it talks about how what this means is now because they were already probably working 6-7 work days.
Yeah.
They are going to receive 40% extra pay on that sixth day and 115% extra pay if it falls on a holiday. So this there is actually go. A little more of a That's positive awesome. Thing.
Yeah.
And I was confused because it was saying, I'm like, how is this a worker-oriented thing, a worker-friendly thing? You know, they said the pro-business government, the measures both worker-friendly and deeply growth-oriented. And so that's what I digged into. Because I'm like, that's not worker-friendly.
So the labor unions and the work unions are pushing back against it. You'd think they want the best for their workers. And, you know, if I'm working overtime, now I'm getting actually paid for it.
It's probably because like, that's what they're going to consider full-time now, is what I'm guessing. The 48 hours. So it's
that
like,
makes sense.
It's like, I can see both sides, right? It's like, 48 hours a week being regulated as a full-time position. That is a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably work more than that with all my ventures, but you know what I mean?
Same.
For most people. But at the same time, before that, you know, there wasn't any regulation for them to really get that overtime pay.
So that makes that actually is a really good point. Then we will also include that article down the links so that you guys can check that out. But that's also a good reminder to do research, to always check everything, because, you know, if you just look at that first article, it looks like it's a very bad thing. And we're like, why is this happening? And Sky being our local detective is just like, I'm going to figure out why this is good.
That is not good.
I love that.
That's our Sky. And, you know, it brings up another little point too. And we won't get into it today for obvious reasons, but, you know, anytime that we have a government entity mandates a certain number of work hours or a certain amount of pay, that immediately affects the business, right? Because their expenses are going to go up. That also impacts the services and the products that we get. And it's not healthy and not good for business in general for a government to mandate fixed costs on a business. That should be determined by the market and whether people purchase services or materials or products from those businesses. So just a lot of caution there, but we won't get into that in this one.
Absolutely.
I wonder if Greece is one of those countries that that only, because America is one of the very few places that I've been to that is actually open like 24/7. Like the businesses are open on Saturday and Sunday, and that's a normal thing. Some of the countries you go to, like that everything stops on the weekend. I know Australia back when I lived there, like Saturday and Sunday after 5 o'clock, everything was shut. Like you couldn't get anything after 5 o'clock. Then you had late night shopping was like a Thursday at that time. So the shops were open until like 7 or 8, but then Saturday and Sunday, it was like, you couldn't find a place until like the big box stores and kind of thing became popular in Australia. And I'm talking 20 years ago when I lived there, like you couldn't go anywhere. Like even when I was in, I visited Tel Aviv for a short period of time. And unless it's a business that wasn't a Jewish owned business, during Shabbat, there was nothing open.
I
wonder if like there was Greece is one of those countries. It'd be interesting to see how that affects people's opinion of, you know, working a 48-hour week or working that extra 8-hour shift and fitting it in somewhere. Do you stay open late or now you open on Saturday? You know, it says it's 6 days, but in hours it's 6 days, but is it actually physically 6 days? So it'd be interesting to know that.
Absolutely.
For sure. Well, thank you all so much for joining us today. We are Cross Shield Financial. If you'd like to have a free 15-minute consultation, please feel free to click the link below to meet with either Nick or Rudy to get started on your financial journey. If you like today's podcast, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe or follow, and check out our bio for links to all of our socials to stay tuned with what's next with Weekly Financial News, which we upload every Friday at 3 p.m., as well as our newest podcast, Too Many S's, which covers savings, spendings, and strategies, which uploads every Friday at noon. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Deezer, and of course, all the YouTube platforms. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope you have an amazing day. You get some coffee or tea and happy savings. Bye.
Happy Independence Day.